Many people call the Gospel of John the Book of Signs. And near the end of the Gospel, John tells us his purpose in writing it. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." And so throughout this gospel, John presents these signs of Jesus as moments that help us understand more fully who Jesus is. They point to different aspects of his identity as the Messiah. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters the woman at the well and reveals himself as the bridegroom who offers living water. In chapter 6, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus reveals himself as the bread of life. In chapter 9, after healing a man who was born blind, Jesus reveals himself as the light of the world. And now here in chapter 11, Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead and reveal himself to be the resurrection and the life. Well, last week we were in John chapter 9 where Jesus healed the man born blind, and we saw the religious leaders were divided. Some believed that he was sent from God, but others insisted that wasn't possible. And what we are skipping over this week is chapter 10, where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, as not only the one who lays down his life for the sheep, but also the one who has the authority to take up that life again. He speaks about how there is one flock and one shepherd. And again, the response is mixed. Some say he has a demon. Others say, "Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Well, it's shortly after this that Jesus tells some of the religious leaders, "The Father and I are one." And at that, they pick up stones to stone him to death for blasphemy, for making himself to be God. They attempt to arrest him, but Jesus slips away and crosses the Jordan River to the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing. And that's where we're going to find him today as our story begins. And what unfolds next is not just the story of the raising of Lazarus. It's a story of what Jesus does when hope seems gone. This story stands right on the edge between Jesus' ministry and his march toward the cross. It's where life and death collide, and the shadow of the cross begins to fall across the path of Jesus. And John wants us to see something important. This story is not just about Jesus having power over death. It's about what the heart of God looks like in the presence of human grief. And so our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. John chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. Listen for God's word to you. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in that place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I was glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Then he said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Whew. There is a question that almost every person of faith asks sooner or later, especially when something doesn't turn out the way that we had hoped. If God loves us, why does God sometimes seem to arrive too late? Why doesn't God answer our prayers sooner? Why doesn't God show up when we think God should? And maybe underneath all of this is a deeper question. When life feels broken, will God show up? Or maybe we could say it this way. Will Jesus still show up when it still feels 4 days too late? That's the question at the heart of the story. Now, early in the story, John tells us something very, very strange. He writes, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so he stayed 2 days longer. Doesn't that sound backwards? Shouldn't we expect it to say, he loved them, so he hurried to them? But John says he loved them, so he delayed. And we're left wondering how love could possibly delay. And if we're honest, there are a few things somebody might accuse Jesus of here. Not caring enough. Not coming soon enough. Not doing what he could have done. Maybe even being too late to matter. After all, if you love someone, you go. If you have the power to help, you act. And if you don't show up, it can start to feel like indifference or a lack of care. And if we're really honest, those aren't just accusations people might make about Jesus in this story. These are the questions people still carry about God now. Where were you? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you stop this? And it is that delay that leads Mary and Martha to say what grieving people have always said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. It's the kind of statement that people make when loss feels preventable or when timing feels cruel or when God feels silent. And then in this gospel, John gives us a detail that most of us might miss, but it turns out to be very important. Think about it. The sisters had sent a messenger to bring Jesus the news. And it would have taken that messenger 15 hours to walk from Bethany to the place where John was baptizing, a full day's journey. Jesus then receives that message, and he stays 2 days longer. And then Jesus himself travels from Bethany, or from the place where John was baptizing, to Bethany, another 15-hour walk. And so from the time the messenger left to the time that Jesus arrives, how many days is that? 4 days. John expects us to understand that, not to miss it. And our tendency is to just kind of skip over that little detail as if it's not important, but it really is. Because then in verse 17, John says, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. And that detail is not accidental. John is telling us something important. In the Jewish world of that time, There was a belief that after somebody died, their soul might linger near the body for 3 days, hoping to return to the body. But on the fourth day, they believed that all hope was gone. Decay would begin. Death would be final. 4 days meant no possibility, no chance, no hope. 4 days means beyond hope. How many of you remember the movie The Princess Bride? It's one of my favorite movies. We got a couple people in here that remember it. Well, there's a great scene in that movie where the star of the show, Wesley, looks dead. And so his friends bring him to Miracle Max, who is played by Billy Crystal. And Miracle Max says, "It just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Mostly dead is slightly alive. With all dead, there's usually only one thing you can do. Go through his clothes and look for loose change." You think about that. That scene portrays what is going on here in this text. The thinking in Jesus' day, 3 days, maybe mostly dead. 4 days, all dead. No question, no hope. John wants us to understand this, because this explains something else we might otherwise misunderstand. Jesus didn't delay and cause Lazarus to die. When Jesus got the message, he already knew that Lazarus was dead. And so his delay in returning to the sisters was more about waiting until that moment when all hope would be totally gone. Waiting until that moment when nobody could say that maybe he wasn't really all dead. Maybe he simply recovered and it's a coincidence. And so Jesus enters the moment when everybody agrees that this situation is beyond hope. And that becomes one of the central truths of this story, that Jesus enters what we believe is beyond hope. Even though Jesus knows resurrection is coming, he still walks into their grief, because Jesus does not just fix pain. Jesus enters pain. That is what love does. And this is something we need to hear. Future hope does not erase present pain. Jesus doesn't say, "Stop crying, I'm about to fix this." Instead, he allows their grief to matter. Because sometimes what hurts most is not just our pain, but the fear that God doesn't see it. And this story tells us that God sees. It tells us that God enters it. There's another detail that John wants us to notice. Notice the difference between Mary and Martha in this story. Martha runs out to meet Jesus. Mary stays at home. Martha speaks theology. Mary, she brings tears. Martha says, "I know that he will rise." Mary repeats the phrase, "If you had been here." And you notice how Jesus responds differently to each of them. To Martha, he gives teaching. To Mary, he gives tears. Which tells us something important. Jesus doesn't meet everybody in the same way. Some people need answers. Some people need presence. Some people need truth spoken. Some people need someone to stand beside them in silence. And Jesus respects the difference and gives people what they need. And this is where we see just how deeply Jesus is willing to enter into people's pain When Mary comes and says, Lord, if you had been here, John tells us that Jesus is deeply moved. And what we need to understand is that word that John uses in that sentence is much stronger than our English translation. It suggests deep emotional turmoil, even anger, a kind of inner shaking. And interestingly, the grammar that John uses here suggests that this disturbance is not directed outward towards anybody else. It's something that is happening within Jesus himself. He's not lashing out. He's not blaming. He's allowing himself to feel the full weight of what death and grief have done to the people that he loves. Jesus is not emotionally detached here. He's personally affected. He's not standing outside of their suffering. He's standing inside it. Because this is what love does. It doesn't stay safely removed. It allows itself to be moved. And when Jesus asks, where have they laid him? And they say, come and see. The weight of all of it breaks through. And John simply tells us that Jesus wept. Not polite tears, not controlled emotion. The language suggests that Jesus burst into tears. The kind of grief that you just cannot hold back any longer. Which is why the crowd said, see how he loved him. But notice when it happened. Jesus didn't weep when he hears that Lazarus has died. He doesn't weep when he arrives in Bethany. He weeps when he sees their grief. Jesus is not crying because he has no hope. Jesus is crying because love enters the pain of others. He knows that Lazarus is going to walk out of the tomb. He knows resurrection is coming. And still, he weeps. And that's something else that our Christian faith reminds us. That faith doesn't remove grief. God enters grief. God doesn't watch grief from a distance. God walks into it and shares it. Which means when we ask where God is, when we suffer, this story answers standing beside us, weeping with us, standing even in the places that feel like God is 4 days too late. When Jesus tells Martha her brother will arrive, she does give the correct theological answer. I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day, which is good theology. That is future hope. But Jesus gently pushes her further and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be, not I will give, but I am. Present tense. Jesus is not talking about life after death here. He's talking about life breaking into death now. Because in John's gospel, resurrection is not just something that happens later. It is what happens wherever Jesus is present. Hope where there is despair. Light where there was darkness. Life where something had died inside someone. Everyone in this story is trapped by something. Martha is trapped by disappointment. Mary is trapped in grief. The disciples are trapped in fear. The crowd is trapped in doubt. And Jesus is not just calling Lazarus out of the tomb. He is calling everyone there toward life. And then comes one of the most dramatic moments in the story. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And we miss how shocking that would have sounded. This would be like somebody showing up at a cemetery 4 days after the burial and saying, "Dig her up, open up the grave." And Martha even protests, "Lord, there's going to be a stench." Scripture is not romantic about death. It's honest about it. This is grief in its rawest form. And Jesus walks straight into that reality because Jesus does not avoid what we fear most. He enters it. Then Jesus cries out, "Lazarus, come out." And notice something else that John is doing. Jesus doesn't just say, "Come out." He says, "Lazarus, come out." He calls him by name, which should sound familiar because just one chapter earlier, Jesus said that the good shepherd calls his sheep by name and they know his voice. This is not just a miracle. This is the shepherd calling one of his own out of death, calling one of his own out of what everyone believed was beyond hope. And then comes another very important line in this whole story. Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus raises Lazarus, but the community unwraps him. Jesus gives life, but people help restore him to living. Because resurrection may be God's work, but restoration is the church's work. And this story leaves us with a question, not why Jesus was late, but what Jesus is still doing. Because the real question is not why Jesus didn't come sooner. The real question is, does Jesus still show up when it feels 4 days too late? And John's answer is yes. Because the story is not just about Lazarus. It's about us. About the places where hope feels buried. About the places where something inside of us has died. About the places where we think that nothing can change. About the places that feel like God is 4 days too late. Maybe it's a place where disappointment has settled in. Maybe it's a place where grief has never fully healed. Maybe it's a place where a relationship broke and never got put back together. Maybe it's the place where hope just quietly faded. Maybe it's the place where you have learned to say, "It's just the way it is." Those places we stop expecting change. The places we quietly label beyond hope. And into those places, Jesus still speaks. Jesus still calls us by name and says, "Come out. Come out of fear. Come out of despair. Come out of whatever has wrapped itself around your life." Because Jesus is not afraid of those places that we've given up on. And then Jesus says something else to the church. "Unbind them and let them go." Resurrection is God's work. Restoration is often the church's work. This is who Jesus is. Where Christ is present, hope is possible. Where Christ is present, life is breaking in. Where Christ is present, death doesn't get the last word, because he is the resurrection. He is the life. And wherever he is present, life always has the final word. Amen.